From the Washington, D.C. prison in Mike Crapo's cell, we bring you This Week in Mormons, everybody. Nice to be here. Nice to be here, folks.
We win, he loses.
And this is a zero-sum podcast. There are only winners and losers.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Oh, and in the spirit of that. So, yeah. Merry late Christmas.
Yep.
I don't wish people Happy New Year because that's not much of an accomplishment. But, you know, good.
Isn't it?
I don't know if we'll have a show up before New Year's or not. We'll have to see. It's terrible that all these holidays fall on Tuesdays this year. That's very bad for our recording.
Our show today will be up before New Year's.
Yeah, let's hope so. But it's a question. But this is a very late show this week. It's going to be up. It's Thursday.
Yeah, that's true. It is Thursday. No, it's Wednesday for us.
I know, but I'm trying to promote the illusion of that when you plug this in and when you're listening, you're like, they're speaking to me in real time.
Nice.
You see, that's what I'm aiming for. We are good shepherds.
For unto us is born this day.
Oh boy.
A savior.
So, Al, you're wearing a towel of some sort?
No, Jeff. This is a Oregon Ducks fleece blanket.
And a Hoosiers sweatshirt, t-shirt.
Now, here's a trick. I order a lot of shipping supplies from Uline for my business and personal stuff. And when you order over like $1,000, you get free random things. So today, I've been wearing my Bears jacket. They sent me for free, and this Oregon Ducks fleece blanket that they also sent me for free, and this Snuggie also sent to me for free. Everything I own that's trashy, I've got from Uline.com. Thanks, everybody.
And they are sponsors of this show. Thank you, Uline.
They should be. If you need cardboard boxes or plastic bags, go to Uline.
Good.
It's going to be good.
I'm wearing this lovely hat.
I bet you paid money for that.
I got
it
as a Christmas
present.
Unlike
everything I'm wearing.
It keeps my head warm during the bleak.
Oh yeah, how was your Christmas haul, Jeff? How did that go?
The haul was fine. It was nice. I got some books.
This was your first Christmas voluntarily away from your family, right?
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. Yeah, actually is. In my whole life. Even when I was living in the UK, I made it home for Christmas, but I got some books, like For Times of Trouble by Jeffrey R. Holland.
Great marriage book.
Obviously a precursor to marriage. And But For a Small Moment by Neil A. Maxwell.
Small Butts in a Moment.
Also, I got the smallest flash drive you may ever see.
Go on.
This little doohickey.
That is not the smallest flash drive I've ever seen.
It's really tiny.
It's pretty small.
Compare these two flash drives. You see, I'm holding up. These are both by the brand Kingston. This is a Kingston Data Traveler. This is also
Did you take that when they gave you that flash drive? Did you throw it across the room and scream Dropbox at them?
No, I asked for this because this one I have. I still use them for here. And this one, the prongs are getting a little warped, so I wanted a new one. And they're so cheap now. This was my brother's Christmas present.
Are you afraid of using the internet, Jeff? Because you realize the internet has all your stuff.
Because the problem is I love Dropbox. Yeah, this came from the internet. This came from Amazon.com.
Well, no. Why not use like Dropbox or SpaceMonkey?
I use things like that. But the problem is sometimes you need to share information with people who don't use cloud storage.
No, you just send them a public link from Dropbox.
I could potentially do that.
Yeah, that's easy. Problem solved.
But in
I fixed
some
it.
Ways, this is easier.
Jeff, take that back to CompUSA or whatever archaic store that person bought it from. Get your $3 back and use the internet.
It's from Amazon.
Use the internet.
I liked this.
Yeah, all right. It's a nifty keychain.
It's 16
gigabytes. Your kids will look at that and give you this weird cockeyed thing and be like, you used to plug these into what? You had physical computers? Weird.
I generally love the cloud, but hey, why not enjoy the simpler things?
Oh, because it's for old people.
I know, Jeff. But Al, as someone who employs many people who are arguably not tech savvy, surely you can understand this.
No, this is what I did. I taught them all how to use Dropbox, so I didn't have to use those stupid thumb drives anymore.
I could send somebody a link, but then they might say, what do I do with this? I download this. Where does it go? What do I do? When people have a physical
They say, I clicked the link, and it worked.
But then you have to download the link. You have to do things.
No, you click it. You click the link. Your job is
and
done.
And then you have to download the file. It's very confusing for some people.
Versus the very easy thumb drive that you plug in, you got that pop-up. Do you want to browse the file or you want to run this setup.exe? Let's browse in your browsing.
Also,
where do I go? I'm looking. Why doesn't somebody send me a link? That's what they're asking.
Here's the other thing. I like that we're having such a
Jeff, you are not
going to
win this argument. You are an old woman right now.
Think about this. I can't typically transfer an HD movie to Dropbox. It'll be too big.
No, of course you can.
If I pay for it. But look, like my Dropbox.
No, you've got 2 gigabytes of free storage.
But you're limited on how much storage you get.
Or you could pay for more.
Well, yeah, but that's if I wanted to pay the monthly. This is much cheaper. This is 16 gigabytes. I could fit a compressed like Blu-ray torrent, like a 10 gig movie on here. Can't do that to my Dropbox folder, my friend.
All right, you've got me
there. And if I did, it would take forever to upload that much data.
For your stolen wares, I cannot service you.
In the time, I can put Dances with Wolves, the director's cut, in Blu-ray right here.
So my sister surprised me this year. She went and found out that I had an Amazon wish list, which I forgot that other people could see, and bought me something off of there. And so did my mom. I got 2 things from an Amazon wish list that I just like put on there on a whimsy. A backpack for traveling, like a... You know, one of the highly rated travel backpacks that fit in the overhead but are still very comfortable.
Uh-huh.
And these headphones that I'm wearing right now. And I was like, I'm such a hard guy to buy a gift for. If you wanted to buy me a gift, what would you get me? You have no idea because I have, like, anything that I want, I'm very good at saving and going and getting. And I'm a minimalist. And so I don't buy, like, I don't want anything. And I what I do want, I get. Yes, Jeff.
Well, thank you. I was raising my hand. I also think it is because you berate people, and I would not want to buy you a gift because you would just relentlessly mock me unless it was perfect.
Yeah, also true.
Uh-huh.
Yep. And so...
Yeah.
And so, I was like, it was one of those where I opened it up and I was like, wait, I wanted this. How did you know I wanted... I was so bewildered. It was like Santa came to my house and gifted me.
Are those Koss headphones? What are those?
These ones are... Sony.
Oh my gosh.
No, I got them because they got the huge, what I needed, like I have good headphones, but they wear on my ears. They'll give me a headache if I wear them too long. So I needed a bigger muff.
Were your previous ones on the ear or over the ear?
Over the ear, V-Modas. And they were good and they've got great sound, but these are like the big, soft, cushy muffs.
Yeah, you can see these bad boys. I mean, I love these. These are very... very comfy.
I see them. Yeah, I like those.
These are my Sony studio monitors.
Yeah. Yeah, see? These are nice.
Let's walk everyone else through the equipment we use for this production. I record this show and mix it in Cubase 5, everybody. Running a now I use a Sennheiser microphone and a pop filter. I run that into a Lexicon Omega USB interface via Cubase, recording the show. Al records his audio in something awful like GarageBand or Audacity or something like that.
In GarageBand with a USB
Blue Snowball microphone, which I also use if we do portable recording or for anything else. And then we mix it all together, export it, upload it via FTP, and then we deliver it to you.
That's exciting.
This was like an episode of How It's Made. Or This Week in Tech, apparently.
Yeah. All inspirations for us.
Anyways, Christmas was nice. It was different, of course, but it was very pleasant. I carried through some traditions of foods and things that I like to eat. And
did you spend it with your fiancé?
Did I what?
Spend it with your fiancé?
I did. We hung out.
You're getting married in like 3 weeks, right, Jeff?
Once Netflix decided to come back online,
your love was rekindled.
We watched Christmas movies, like bad ABC Family.
How are your feelings right now, just a few weeks before you'll be having exciting relations with your woman?
Don't know. No.
And by relations, I mean weddings. You're getting married, Jeff. This is an exciting moment. I want to be the documenteur of your life at this very moment.
Well, if you bring your digital camera.
I will.
I expect a YouTube video made.
And I'm staying at a Holiday Inn Express, so I will be very good at
taking
pictures.
Why did you get... We could have found a place for you to stay. I don't know what you're doing.
No, I actually haven't got a hotel yet.
That's probably good. We'll figure this out.
Good. I'm still waiting for somebody in San Diego to step forward and say, sleep on my couch.
No, it's not. Be a man. Get a place.
Jeff, I am coming to your wedding. I am paying out of my pocket to be there. Don't you be a man to me. You be a man to me when you start paying for my hotels. I will still mooch until the mooching is gone.
So, did you see Les Mis?
I did.
Where did you even go? Where do you go to the movies when you're way out there?
In Kansas City.
So you have to drive an hour.
It's an hour drive.
Do you drive all the way to Kansas City, or can you do it once you're in like Liberty or something like that?
Liberty is Kansas City. If you send a letter to Liberty, Missouri, it gets redirected to Kansas City.
That doesn't make any sense because Liberty, Missouri is a separate municipality.
Isn't it? It's Kansas City now.
No, it's a city.
It's the GKCA, Jeff, the greater Kansas City area. So we went down there and saw. I thought it was great except for Russell Crowe. Russell Crowe, his first like four songs were just atrocious.
Yep.
Well, no, it's like I felt like he was Will Ferrell singing an elf. I'm singing. I'm in the store and I'm singing. I'm Javert. No, it's like stop it. Everybody else was great.
Yeah, he was.
And then he found his in the end when he commits suicide. He finally got good at singing.
Sorry for the spoiler, everybody.
We all saw it coming.
Yeah, he was a little weak. I felt nothing.
Did you see
Javert.
It? No, Javert.
I really didn't, but I enjoyed it. It was good. It was quite bombastic, but it was almost like it was daring me not to cry the whole time. The movie was.
Did you cry?
I did not cry. Many people around me were crying. It was.
Yeah, I well. So the thing that I really liked about it is in a theatrical production, you lack the like intimate moments with the actor's face, and I felt like that brought out a lot of different parts in the songs for me. I really like. I'm one who's seen Les Mis a number of times. I'm a huge fan of the production, mm-hmm. but being able to like get that intimate with facial expressions and what was going on between the two, I thought they did a great job.
See,
with it.
I liked that aspect of it, but then at the same time, I felt like the direction was lazy in that many times during a song,
Michael Bay outdid himself.
Tom Hooper. The camera would just sit on the actor, and it was intimate and good, but no movement of the scene. Just
Jeff, that is Tom Hanks' style. He loves
Tom Hooper.
That
Hooper,
whatever.
He's a British fellow. He directed the film called The King's Speech.
Listen, Jeff. If who's the guy? Ken Banks, is that or Kenneth?
I don't know what
the guy that did like Pride and Prejudice, the seven movie series, baseball, all the
Ken Burns.
Ken Burns. That's what
he
I was
did not do Pride and Prejudice.
Whatever. I was really going for it. I had great things. Anyway, we got Mormon stuff. We're not going
to
do a long show.
Do we have to do Mormon?
Jeff is tired.
I guess we can do. I could go off. I guess I'm. As opinionated, I'm not quite at this level, but when it comes to Les Mis, it hasn't been since like The Dark Knight Rises that I've had so much thought about a film.
So the one other thing that I like that I thought of you during this movie was when they sang "Bring Him Home," and I didn't think like I.
You mean because
I
can sing it rather well?
I thought you could have done it better, Jeff.
I was.
I said, bring Openshaw in.
I was a bit disappointed with Hugh Jackman's sort of nasal forced delivery of that. It was like, God on high. He was just. It's an intimate song. It's like, God on high. Very, very, very.
Oh yeah, it's not so much high. It's more high.
Oh, it's very soft.
But you have to be powerful. Powerful.
But I will say this. I feel the Les Mis has a weak narrative structure, both the play and the musical.
No, boo. Boo, Jeff.
What one enjoys boo. Such a thing, but at the same time...
Boo, Jeff. We're not talking about this anymore.
Sorry.
You're cut off.
It's just true. It's a... It's just, you know, whatever.
It's not true, you negative Nancy.
So we...
Sorry, it's not the Avengers or some other piece of garbage that you love.
No, I'm not saying that. I love profound films.
Hulk smash! That's the only thing that has a narrative for you, Jeff. Hulk smash!
Hulk smash! For those of you who listen to us from Idaho, you have our condolences. I don't know why we laugh about this, because one of our own has
This sounds like a Norm MacDonald joke. Senator Crapo.
One of our own has fallen into diverse ways, paths, whatever you want to call it. Whenever I read the scriptures when I was younger, I used to think it said divers, because it says divers, but for some reason it's diverse without the E at the end. Anyway, so Mike Crapo, senator from Idaho, was arrested right near my house out here in Northern Virginia for a DUI, my friends.
Is he a bishop right now? Is he an active
bishop? I've been confused about that. Whether he was once a bishop or if he is currently a bishop, it has not been clear to me. I can't imagine a senator would get a calling as a bishop given the workload they have on their plate. But I don't know.
So he was a bishop at age 31, and I guess they're assuming that once a bishop, always a bishop.
Maybe it's that. So
he's not currently an active bishop.
Not
I don't
currently
believe.
A bishop, but the man has been on the record as being actively LDS. So this is what I've come up with. I think that Crapo is a victim of circumstance. I think that at some White House holiday party, Obama,
like every drunk, he took a drink.
Obama
and then
forced
went driving.
Him. Forced him to drink the eggnog. He had no choice in this matter.
Are you even remotely serious?
And then Obama forced him to drive across the Potomac into the suburbs-ish here and hang out in the Delray neighborhood and then subsequently be pulled
this
over.
This man is like, he's like the Senate's Lindsay Lohan. Why don't you go to a remake of Herbie Rides Again, you drunken idiot?
Really? The Senate's Lindsay Lohan? Trouble with the law. Yeah. Millions of dollars in debt.
Let's go to a party and lose our purse like an idiot.
Well, anyways.
Remember when we reported on Lindsay Lohan going to a BYU Hawaii party? That was great.
Oh, my gosh. That was a long time ago, wasn't it?
So.
Wow.
No, this guy, like, I mean, for him.
It is sad.
A practicing Mormon, it's sad just because, like, he's been ousted. His ruse, he's, the gig is up.
Yes, but now I will say this. Which of us is without sin? No matter our piety, no matter our genuine devotion.
Except I feel like somebody that's in the public face to that degree is allowed less lenience for making mistakes, right? I mean, you just have to be more careful.
Yeah,
you, sir, Crapo, keep yourself beyond reproach. That is your duty as a public servant, as a member of the church in the public eye. What are you doing, you big goon?
Having a little fun. He's, you know, kicking back on some of Grandpa's old cough medicine.
Dude, it's just so crummy. I mean, it's crummy to see a guy like that puts out that facade, who secretly has his demons down beneath.
Well, perhaps, but I'm not going to jump to everything.
Ousted in such a public way
without.
I mean,
he puts out the facade, but how many of us? Not like us, but just as a very general us, how many men can openly stand up and preach that pornography is wrong and we don't believe in it, and yet still be tempted, still be ensnared by such things? It is not a crime to speak out against things that might even tempt us or trouble us. But I mean, it is different if you.
What are you saying? No, there are those among us who can stand and say that, and there's, but like. I mean, it's not to say that he needs to be perfect, but when it comes to drinking, right? If you're going to go get drunk in a public setting, You should not put out the perception that you are that you don't drink alcohol and then stumble out of a holiday party.
I understand it because he has been vocally, you know, on the record about his word of wisdomness in the past. So whatever. But we don't. I don't know all the circumstances.
There's no circumstance. You can't get a DUI if you're driving while drunk. You're clearly. What circumstances are to consider?
One optimistic online commenter suggested that because of his struggle with cancer, that it can some of the medications can impair one's judgment and test as having a high blood alcohol level.
What, does he have glaucoma now? He's smoking some weed to just ease the glaucoma?
You want to shift gears? There's a debate as LDS people.
You can't smoke marijuana if you have glaucoma and you're a Mormon.
But say you've got cancer, medical marijuana. If it is prescribed by a physician, is it? I mean, I get it because if your doctor could tell us, you know, hey, have a glass of wine, it's good for the antioxidants and for your heart, and we're still going to say no. What about the weed? What if your doctor says, smoke this weed, it will help you? Ethical dilemmas for Latter-day Saints. What is right and what is wrong?
Yeah, all right. In that situation, I'm going to say, yeah, you should be able to smoke the weed, sure.
What if your doc... Okay, I could go into cruder realms.
Well, keep going. This is entertaining.
There are a number of things doctors could urge us to do that would go
against... It's
going
to be Ask Al. Go ahead. Throw your ethical dilemmas at me and I'll answer.
Well, that one, I think medical marijuana is a fair one because
I answered for you.
Well, okay.
If the doctor prescribes it and it somehow aids your medical condition... Rather than is just another variation of a painkiller?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, the medical marijuana is a painkiller and it also helps with nausea and stuff like that, so.
So if you have vertigo and are dying of cancer, then yes, I suggest that you smoke medical marijuana. If you are not Lucille too, you should not have any part of it.
Okay, well, there you go. Well, I mean, there could be many steps here. What if a... You know, doctor. What if a doctor told you you had to go and be with a lady of the night?
Yes, finally. The Lord heard my prayer and answered.
Forgive this next part, but what if a doctor told you that because of any number of things, it was important that you gave yourself the old low five?
Then, wait, what does that mean?
I'm not going to explain it further than that. But if you think about this, we stand against such things, and yet, what if they say this is medically expedient? Do you say no? I have my morals.
What circumstance? What circumstance needs that? What condition is there?
That requires
the old quote unquote low five. I think that's a myth. No. You're shaking your head no.
There are no myths. There is only truth.
All right. Yeah, I've defeated all of your ethical dilemmas so far.
Well, that's based on your opinion.
I feel like I am the reigning judge in Israel in this relationship here. I can answer all of these dilemmas, much as Aaron for Moses.
Let me tell you a thing or two about judgment. As a fellow who's getting married and who is an expert on human relationships.
Just kidding. That's fair. All right, go on.
No, I don't really have anything to say. I just like to be the know-it-all engaged guy for fun.
Hey, so a few more things. We're almost at 20 minutes. We're going to be wrapped up here in about 5 minutes, people.
Not necessarily. No. Hang in there, folks.
We're going to try really, really hard to be out of here at 28 minutes.
It's not going to happen, and I'm okay with it not happening.
Jeff, I want you to sleep.
Is this how we celebrate turning that corner into the 150s of our shows by dropping.
Yeah, okay. All right, so Warren Jeffs was back in the news. He sent the Library of Salt Lake, sent them a 900-page book of his revelations. Spoiler alert, the revelations indicate that he should be let out of jail. This is
Doctrine and Covenants, section 139, and I
and
shall
God
not be
said,
chained.
Let me out.
Oh, that's great.
My warning voice has been sounded.
Well, that's great. Do we have any examples?
The librarian estimates the book costs about it's very well done and costs about $100 to put together, which is a big sacrifice because these people are kind of out of money at this point.
Yes.
I was entertained.
My Zion shall rise, and I shall intervene in a judgment that you shall soon feel, and it shall continue until opposition is removed.
Mm-hmm. Well, also, Jabari Parker chooses Duke.
How do you feel about that choice, Al?
In a world where BYU was never a real contender because we're a failure of a
but
school.
But Jimmer went there, and that guy who slept with his girlfriend last year.
Yeah, Lamar Odom. Yeah, all right, so they both.
Yeah, Lamar Odom. Isn't he married to a Kardashian?
Yeah, he's doing really nice. So yeah, Jimmer did go, but there's, I mean, Brandon Davies, good player, but there's not, like, there's no all-star players there. And that team as a whole, I don't know, they just never do anything. They do okay,
have you not heard of Steve Young?
You're thinking of Danny Ainge, and yes, I have.
Danny Ainge, who coached the Celtics to victory?
Hoop.
I'm making this up
anyway,
as I go.
I think Jabari Parker is, I think he made the right choice. I love the idea of people choosing schools based on their merit rather than the religious affiliation. In fact, I wrote an op-ed once entitled, "The Era of Church Schools is Past." Jabari Parker, thank you for reading and supporting This Week in Mormons.
I'll make a note to
and choosing
link
schools
to that.
Based on merit rather than religious affiliation.
Because you had a very weak argument in the era of the church school has passed.
No, I didn't.
No, it was a weak narrative.
No, who got more social traction? My argument or your rebuttal?
What about when I wrote my wonderful piece about the honor code being antiquated?
That was great. It supported my idea that the era of church schools had passed.
I'm going to have to reread this. It's been a while. We haven't done op-eds in some time. I feel like it's...
No, we haven't.
2013, we should do more of those. Now, also, speaking sort of, there's a handful of BYU things going on. First of all, this is because listener Laura Wolford sent this to us. And we want to honor you by telling you the story that a BYU student begins puppy renting business in Provo. That's right, folks. If you want the joy of a puppy but don't want to fully commit, you can shell out $25, $15 an hour and just, like, have a puppy for an hour and play with it
and then
bond with it.
Do they euthanize the dogs once they get over six?
What's that?
Do they euthanize the dogs once they get over, like, 6 months?
No, I don't know what the plan is, but they're making the monies. They're protected. This is BYU industriousness. This is Deseret. This is the honeybee, my friend. Selling, well, basically prostituting dogs.
There's so many great opportunities with that one, but I can't. I just won't.
I mean, that's basically what is happening. But
prostituting dogs at BYU. I will not say anything.
But it's so exciting. You can, the monies. This reminds me of a film I saw on the Hallmark Channel called A Dog Named Christmas. Wherein a lovely and challenged young man ran a program to get everyone to adopt a dog just for the holidays. You know, just to give the dogs a nice place to be during Christmas time. But then inevitably, he falls for the dog named Christmas, which is sort of like a Mary Poppins dog that shows up and fixes families and then leaves after the job is done. It was very, very good, everyone. And Bruce Greenwood is in it, so I really recommend you watch A Dog Named Christmas. You'll be happy if you do.
Oh, I love Tom Green. He's done great things.
Now, also, sticking in Provo, I absolutely love this. And this was just... This
For
is the
record,
joy.
We hate that last idea, by the way. Can we just... What? Can we go on the record as saying that?
What's your idea?
We hate the puppy renting idea.
You hate it?
Yes.
Why?
Because they're taking advantage of cuteness, and then when they get old, much like old men, they just cast them away. Jeff, this will be all too real for you in a number of 5 to 7 years.
No, I'm only getting better and lighter and fitter and stronger.
Jeff, I don't mean to be the bearer of bad news, but have you seen the crow's feet around your eyes? You're clearly on the downward
slope. I don't have those because I don't smile.
You squint when you smile, like this.
Very awkwardly, like this. Hello.
Yeah, yeah, like that guy on Third Rock from the Sun.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt?
Yes, he was great.
Let's make sure we remember him for that, not for the successful movie career he's been staging for the past number of years.
Nope.
But, oh, that long rock. Hair and the aliens
Third
and
the Rock
attic.
From the Sun.
My
he
goodness.
Was... He was great in that.
All right, so.
No, who was the comrade in that, that had the narrow slitted eyes?
Oh, you're a strange person.
Anyway, go
so
on.
So I found
what
this on MSN Money. They had a list of the 15 best cities in the country in which to grow old, right? I didn't think much of this. The list itself is actually pretty hilarious because it appears that everything they name is just terrible. Little Rock, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Baltimore, Jackson, Mississippi, San Francisco,
Baltimore is on the list of great places to grow old.
Yeah, Washington, D.C., Toledo, Ohio.
Because you die at 50.
Okay, number 7, Salt Lake City is a great place to grow old. Number 6 okay. is Des Moines. Number 5 is New York City. Number 4 is Boston. Number 3 is Omaha. Number 2 is Madison, Wisconsin. And number 1... is Provo, Orem, Utah. That's right, folks. The greatest place in this beautiful land of America in which to grow old is College Town, Provo, Utah.
Oh, my gosh.
It's beyond me how they compiled this list, but it says because the presence of BYU... And there is also a pro-business environment. It boasts a low incidence of chronic disease thanks to healthy lifestyles and a focus on wellness. Now, if any seniors listen to this show, and I know maybe like 2 of you do, please tell us if living in Provo in your golden years is an appealing prospect. Do you want to go to the malt shop and hang out with the youths?
You can play Signs on a Thursday night.
It's perfect. Watch Hitch with all your friends.
Out on the lawn as they project it onto the side of a house.
You can go play Ultimate Frisbee at the intramural fields.
Or you can hang out at the Wilk and play piano for your sweethearts and hope some lady comes and smooches you.
Not only that, Provo High School regularly has bridal convention ball things.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, they do. So you could hit that up for some sweet bridesmaid honeys looking for a quick hit.
Yeah, because you don't really look for mall trash in Provo. You look for... bridal convention trip.
Well, the malls are so far away.
So, I mean, but who has time to
you
go
could
to
also, you could also play a progressive game of Clue.
But what you can't
as
do,
you,
my understanding.
As you dress up as the characters and go from house to house.
You can no longer have Fazoli's, I believe. I believe Fazoli's is gone. So.
May they rest.
Very sad. The great thing about this list is just that the people who comment. You know, underneath, are very upset about it. Not just Provo, just in general, because it does make points. Nowhere in Florida was mentioned. Nowhere in Arizona, New Mexico. Nowhere in Southern California. They think that old people want to live in
trash
Toledo.
Trash places.
But really, folks, just excited. Good for you, Provo. Well played. Good job. May the old people come to you.
So, with the increase of sister missionaries, of course, we have an increase in sister missionaries being kidnapped by Guatemalan terrorists. Do you like that?
It goes without saying. I mean...
The kidnappers wanted $5 million in ransom. They kidnapped 2 sister missionaries, held them for 2 days before the FBI intervened and freed them and captured 3 kidnappers. The women had no obvious signs of injury or ill treatment. And 2 of the kidnappers were Nicaraguan men, which should also go without saying. And the other was an 18-year-old Guatemalan woman who I'm sure was the bait, who had a fake interest in the gospel and got them alone. And then the 2 Nicaraguans came and took them away. That's how I imagine it happening. Jeff.
Have we verified that one of the Nicaraguan men was not one Elder Brock Barton?
We have not verified
Elder Barton,
that one of the Nicaraguan.
If you have left the mission
boundaries, one of the Nicaraguan men was not a huge white guy from Kansas City, Missouri.
Elder Barton, go back to the mission field. Don't do this.
Your football playing days are over, son.
This is not
$5 million is hard to come by.
I don't love kidnapping, but I'm glad this was at least kind of a brief incident without much.
How cool would that have been as a missionary to have been kidnapped and then freed by the FBI 2 days later?
One of my mission presidents was kidnapped on his mission in Chile because he was there during the Pinochet era, and he was kidnapped for like a stretch.
A rather unpublicized event. Elder Nelson, a couple of years ago, he and his wife were kidnapped.
I have never heard about this. Please tell us.
They shared the experience. I forget where. It was at some fireside we were at, but he was just like, you know, it was one of those that we didn't want to put in the news. Actually, now that I'm saying this, maybe he didn't want me to talk about it.
It was on the record. It's okay.
So they got kidnapped, and like he had a gun pointed at him the whole bit, and he was just like cool as a cucumber. He was confident in that the Lord's time for him was not yet, and that wasn't how he was going to go. And he was just like, all right, do what you're going to do, but I'm out of here. And like they lasted for a couple hours and then let him go.
Did this happen in Toledo?
No, it happened. It was in South Africa, I believe.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was pretty intense.
That sounds cinematic. Like, you know when you watch movies and someone points a gun at somebody else, but they stand there all cool and just say, go ahead. I know you're not going to do it.
Leans his head in and touches his forehead to the barrel and says, you're not like me.
Yeah,
you wouldn't.
No one would do that in real life. We'd all be terrified of being shot. So it is impressive to think about, Elder.
I don't know. You don't think there's any crazies out there that would just be like, I'm playing mind games with you right now. Go ahead.
Al, I've been playing mind games with you for almost 7 years.
Well, and I've tried to shoot you a number of times.
I know. You've tried to shoot your arrow as a Cupid.
Wait, there is there's a school whose mascot is the... Oh, Columbia, Missouri. There's a high school whose mascot is the Cupids. And they yell, go naked babies.
This is unfortunate for just everyone involved.
For the 1,300 students that go to that school.
Oh, my gosh. Laguna Beach High School's mascot used to be the Poets.
Oh.
In Laguna Beach, California.
I hope they were all beat poets.
The Fighting Poets.
That could spit some sick rhymes, these ones.
All right, so now for some Oklahoma news.
Of course.
Of course, right? Two Mormon missionaries rescue a scared puppy in Tulsa.
They should team up with the woman renting puppies who probably lost her.
This is actually a publicity stunt for the Puppies R Us. Puppy Pimps. The Puppy Pimps.
the Double P!
So, there's no story here, but this is what happened. So, there was a puppy just scared underneath a semi, and the missionaries got it out. They coaxed it out, and they fixed it, and they got the puppy. And they are now local heroes. And on Christmas Eve, no less.
Jennifer Brodus, former News on 6 producer, said she was driving on Harvard between 61st and 71st when traffic came to a standstill. I sat there for 10 or 15 minutes wondering, what's going on? Then a guy returned to his car in front of me and grabbed some beef jerky. Jennifer called out to the driver, who told her there was a puppy hiding beneath a delivery truck.
Yes.
So she went along to see. At one point, there were three men under the truck trying to coax the dog out. They had a rake someone had found by the road. That's going to work great. And then they were trying to tempt it with beef jerky. The dog was scared and kept running in circles. Everyone worked together to try to help the puppy. One guy was directing traffic while it... Toledo, have you nothing better to do with
this
your
life? This is Tulsa.
Life?
Tulsa now. We're in Tulsa.
It was really great that the delivery truck driver was willing to wait. The truck was so big, he was afraid he'd hurt the dog, but I'm sure he had to finish his delivery route. The dog wasn't hurt when Jennifer left. The missionaries were trying to find the pup's owner. If they can't be located, he'll be taken to the Humane Society and put to sleep.
Is that what it says?
Well, it stops at Humane Society, okay. But we all know what those mean.
Because they humanely put them to sleep.
Yeah, with tasers and things.
Yeah, okay. Well, good job, missionaries. You've saved Tulsa from a terrible puppy incident.
No, we did similar stuff. What were you, Jeff? We were, that's right. We were teaching people about Jesus. That's what we were doing.
I was usually
lazy
perhaps
bums.
Fending off dogs. Not saving them as much as kicking them.
I was more running.
They tried to bite me.
These missionaries look adorable, though. What Christmassy happy fellas. The one can't quite seem to part his hair, and the other one has trimmed it too short to part.
Oh, I know that haircut when it's too short to part. Too big to fail.
Too failure too to short. Big.
Lastly, folks, we'll post this video up on our website this week in Mormons.com. There's a little time-lapsed video of the whole setup for the Tabernacle Choir's Christmas concert things, people singing and performing. It's a whole
it's
setup
nice.
And teardown before, after, during.
It is just really nice.
In under 3 minutes. If you want to see the whole concert, but you couldn't sit through it, just watch that.
Okay. Okay. Jeff, you've tricked me beyond my 28-minute limit. Here we are.
You forget that I'm a master of pacing.
You are. You are a pace master.
They call me the pace master.
They call you the pacemaker.
Folks, find
like John
us
Stockton.
At facebook.com/thisweekinmormons. Like us. Interact with us, and we will interact with you.
Yeah, we love those things. Also, you can send us an email, contact@thisweekinmormons, or find us on Twitter, twitter.com/therealtwim.
And of course, however you found this, we encourage you to subscribe in iTunes or with our ever-broken
RSS feed. Other ways.
Feed.
However you found it isn't good enough, find it more.
And share it with others.
Yeah.
That's going to be all. So, you know, great weekend news, you know, Jabari Parker. The dogs and the Guatemalans and the Senator Crapo and the things and the Christmas. So, great job, everybody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Al, I hope that you have a safe journey or whatever you're doing out there.
Thank you, Jeff.
And I hope it is wonderful.
Jeff, I hope you sleep well, anticipating marriage in just a few weeks.
I am wearing my Mickey Mouse shirt to bed.
Don't care.
Very excited about
don't
it.
Don't care.
It's Mickey's Bowl-O-Rama.
Shut your face.
All right. It says you'll never strike out here. It's so good.
Oh, you should give that to your fiance. Ha ha!
No. No, she's already hit a grand slam.
All right. You're ridiculous.
You're ridiculous.
All right. Ha! Have a great night, Jeff. Wonderful to talk to you. Happy New Year, everybody.
And to you. Happy New Year, folks. Don't know if we'll have another show up next week before the New Year or not, so we'll see what happens. Be safe out there regardless. This has been This Week in Mormons, our 151st episode. We thank you for tuning in and for your loyal patronage. We'll talk to you again.
All through the night you telephoned. I saw the light blinking red beside the cradle. But you don't know how far I've come. Now I must live with the lie that I made. But if I travel very well. And does anybody in Ohio dream of that Spanish citadel?